pushing the limit of how many times you can say the word thing in one show.
That's the next thing.
That is the next thing.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on a Tuesday, continuing our tour around the NFC East post-draft, post-free agency. Ben Standing joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, covers the Redskins for The Athletic. Ben, thanks for taking the time. Let's dive right in with Dwayne Haskins. Entering year two, I was at the Combine and heard Ron Rivera talk about him there, and there seems to be a lot of prove-it season on the line for Dwayne Haskins with this new group running the Redskins. Where does he stand from your perspective?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair, and thanks for having me. Dwayne Haskins had a very bumpy rookie season. It finished nice. His best two starts were his last two starts, but there were a lot of bumps in between and questions. He came into the NFL. It's not just that he was a rookie, but even for a rookie, he was pretty inexperienced. Obviously, as you guys know, only the 1 year of starting at Ohio State. And, there were questions about was he putting in the work, how quickly was he grasping everything, whatever it may be. And look, the Redskins had a very weird 2019 season that Jay Gruden gets fired after five games. And anytime a rookie quarterback is going through a head coaching change, especially when that head coach is on the offensive side of the ball, that can cause some problems. Dwayne Haskins is not without talent, obviously. There's a reason to be optimistic about what he can do. But, at the end of the day, Ron Rivera did not draft Dwayne Haskins. And, for human beings, whether they recognize it or not, they like to align themselves with things where they will receive max credit. And if Dwayne Haskins doesn't give them the new staff sort of reason to believe that they can just get behind him, it wouldn't surprise me if by next year they did decide to move forward. And even this year, but they brought in Kyle Allen, a guy who knows Ron Rivera's system from Carolina. It wouldn't stun me at all if Kyle Allen started a game here or there. It's Haskins' job to lose. But like you said, there's definitely a prove it kind of scenario, I think, for him.
Yeah, Ben, Ron said, when they brought in Kyle Allen, that, with no offseason, that Kyle might actually have a leg up on Dwayne. So if we have this, I'm assuming we're not having any offseason stuff, right? And we're hoping just to have a fall camp as normal in a season. But if we get to a place where it's just fall camp and that's it, who's the starter week one? Do you think it's Dwayne or Kyle?
Yeah, so with the NFL schedule is coming out this week, and I was trying to decide, do I want to bother with anything like that, write something about it, or have fun with it, whatever. And so part of me was thinking, do a mock season, just for fun. Yeah. And my first thought was, wait, am I going to start Kyle Allen week one? Because I kind of, if you made me pick, like you said, if we just have like a 3-week training camp type thing and that's it before the season, I would probably pick Kyle Allen to be the starter. Now, look, these players are all going through these virtual practices, and they're talking to the coaches to whatever degrees they're allowed to. And, look, maybe there's something to be said for the Haskins can pick up the playbook fairly quickly in that capacity. But, again, experience is what he needs as much as anything, both reps on the field and the mental reps as well. And obviously this is such a unique experience. You would have to think that a guy in Kyle Allen, who was the primary starter for Carolina last year with Cam Newton hurt, he had ups and downs, but he had some good games for sure. And he knows Scott Turner's system, the offensive coordinator. So you'd have to imagine he would have an advantage, even if it's just in the mind of the coaching staff, just the belief that on the fly they can call X, Y, or Z. That's not a play. That's just the my phrasing. And whatever they want to call, and the Kyle Allen would be ready to go, and Dwayne Haskins maybe not. So it wouldn't stun me at all if Kyle Allen is the week one starter in the scenario of everything being truncated this offseason.
Ben Standing, our guest, covers the Redskins for The Athletic. Ben, how are they going to – you love the pick of Chase Young. We saw him, and he was just as dominant as any defensive player that we've seen come through here, and we've seen some good ones, and just love that pick. And you love what they're doing on the defensive line. Is that where this is going to be built through defense and through kind of the way Rivera built it in Carolina? Of course, he had Cam Newton, so that's something that you got to go find somebody who can win the MVP at quarterback in order to really pull that off. But is that kind of the long-term plan here for the Redskins?
For sure. I think right now it's the obvious strength of the team on paper, at least. Last year the Redskins had a defensive front that included recent first-round picks in Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat, Ryan Kerrigan is number two all-time on the franchise in sacks. All those guys are on the field, and the defense was still a disaster. Whether that was coaching, whether that was questions of the back seven, whatever it was, there were issues. But the belief is that when you tack on Chase Young, similar to the way the 49ers added Nick Bosa last year to a group that had a bunch of recent first-round picks on that defensive front, that it would help unlock that, not that Chase Young himself turns into Lawrence Taylor year one or whatever, but just that having another player that the offensive has to account for. And now you have all these players lined up across the line and blitzing from different angles. That's just going to make it such more of a challenge. So I think the hope, if the Redskins have hope of winning this year, whatever that means, but just, being a much more consistent team, is that that defensive front four and with the edge rushers coming on the outside, that group just causes so much havoc that it makes up for some still weaknesses in the secondary, and also for an offense that may, some games struggle to score 20 points potentially. So, yeah, I think a lot for 2020 and beyond hinges on how well that defensive line performs, and obviously, like you said, with Chase Young, there's reason to be optimistic going into this year.
Ben, what's the goal for the identity on offense? As you look on the roster, and we talked about the quarterback, we know about Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis and that, but outside of Terry McLaurin at wide receiver, it seems pretty thin. And we know a lot about Terry, obviously, coming from Ohio State, but just what is the outlook and what does Ron want to build there going forward? Obviously, this year it's not going to be, we're not just building a castle in one offseason, especially with a COVID-19 going on. But what is the long-term vision for this offense?
For sure. By the way, it's funny. I mean, obviously, go to radio shows in different cities, they tend to highlight a player that maybe came through there in college. And sometimes it's a stretch. You guys are highlighting all the players. It's the most prominent guys on the team. I mean,
right.
You just mentioned Terry McLaurin. What an absolutely fantastic season. I love watching him play. Such an intriguing player, such an intriguing kid, very smart, intelligent. He's got all the tools. He looks like, to me, like he could be a top 10 receiver in the NFL. But then you get past him, and for right now, boy, I mean, it's real. This offense lacks playmakers. If they want Dwayne Haskins to improve, you have to help him. There's big questions right now with the playmakers. The running back, there's some names. Obviously, Adrian Peterson, the most prominent. And look, he still has plenty in the tank. But, we're not at the Hall of Fame level version of AP, but he still can carry an offense for a drive or two and beyond some games. Darius Geis, he's going into his third year. When he has played, has looked like a guy who could be a difference maker offensively. The problem is keeping him on the field. He missed his whole rookie season with a knee injury and twice last year was sidelined for stretches with injuries. With those two in particular, I think the Redskins would love to be able to run the ball, control the clock in that way, help Dwayne Haskins out, and then also sort of shrink the game, which will help maybe their defense as well stay as fresh. And they do have some other pieces in the backfield. They drafted Antonio Gibson from Memphis in the third round. Technically a running back, but he's sort of he calls himself a weapon, a guy they could play all over the field who has real explosive ability. But right, I mean, beyond the backfield and McLaurin, the tight end position, I don't think there's a true starter there. The number two receiver opposite McLaurin is very uncertain. A lot of youth, a lot of inexperience. So the coaching staff will have to really help get some of these young kids up a level and ready to go right off the bat. But that is a big question, is how are they going to score points? And this is one thing I sort of don't quite understand. I get building for the long haul, but with Haskins, you want to help him out. They also have big questions at left tackle after trading Trent Williams. So
right. The
offense has questions, but Terry McLaurin definitely does not appear to be one of them.
Ben, I'll get you out of here on this one, and I realize it's a complicated one, but I'm old enough to remember this as one of the model organizations of the National Football League, one which you cannot get a ticket to. And then you see Redskins games in the last decade or so, and it looks like sometimes they're playing the Eagles, and it's an Eagles home game. I think we know how this happens, certainly with ownership. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel there in terms of the relationship between that city and that fan base and Dan Snyder? And is there any move for Dan to sell the team? I guess would be no, because you don't sell one of these things once you have them. But this has been a pretty bad two-decade run here.
Yeah, without a question. For the last several years, the fan base has been really adamant about the Redskins getting rid of their team president, de facto general manager Bruce Allen. The fire Bruce Allen hashtag was a popular one, and that eventually did happen at the end of this year after a decade, and people are celebrating and dancing in the streets. And I'm like, cool, reminder, Bruce Allen wasn't here in 1999 and 2000 when Dan Snyder took over. Bruce Allen wasn't here for the first decade when things were, you know, were fairly crazy, and this last decade, you know, not much different. But Dan Snyder is the one constant, and I think, you know, it's one thing for a fan base. I'm sure you guys deal with this on the radio. Obviously, it's great when a fan base is thrilled, and to some degree, it's not the worst thing in the world when they're angry. The worst thing is when they become apathetic, and that's where the Redskins reached the last year or two, and you saw that in the stands where people stopped going out. And then there's other factors, obviously, the sort of this modern era that we all live in. We're going to a game, you know, staying at home to watch a game can be as, you know, as enjoyable as going sometimes, depending on the setup. And FedEx Field is not one of the easier stadiums to deal with from a traffic standpoint, and, you know, so on and so on. But look, winning cures all, and the Redskins have not been a consistent winner for some time. Even in the last couple of times they've made the playoffs, you know, it was sort of like, yeah, we're just sneaking in. Like, there hasn't been a full-throated, here come the Redskins lookout team in a while. Obviously, I think there's hope with Ron Rivera, who had, you know, while he was fired, it's sort of weird. So while he was obviously fired at Carolina, and he had plenty of seasons that were not that impressive. They made a Super Bowl. He was coach of the year twice. You know, he brings a different type of vibe to the situation. He talks constantly about culture change, and I believe that he believes it, and I think that he can get this done. It's just that we've probably all said that before when Mike Shanahan showed up and others as well. So, you know, will ultimately Dan Snyder be able to stay out of the kitchen? I don't know, but right now it's while fans are a little more optimistic with Rivera in and Bruce Allen out, I don't know how it can't be in your back of your mind that the ownership still exists and that to some degree, no matter what happens, things won't be different. Until then, I don't know if the fans will come all the way back, but winning changes plenty, and especially if you could do it with a young quarterback, I think people could get excited, and we'll have to see what happens.
Ben, this was great. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, anytime. Thanks a lot.